Allah cennetim evinde sıya, cenaze hasılakaya. Çaksı söyleten cennet tersmai, suyu yürübeynime. Suyu çektani onu bilsem, takitam neyle utere. Sayam, ümpakadamayam, edatik sarıkıdan dikam. Man çakalpat rübiyas çağ, tutasın dubayını çağ, fatik tanım pavane bimu. When we have seen the Abhishek of Krishna and Balaram, we feel happy because we are in the presence of Krishna and Balaram. And more important than we seeing them is the darshan, that they are seeing us. And this change of consciousness from being the one who wants to see to being the one who is seen is essential if one wants to advance in devotional service. To change from being the one who sees to being the one who is seen. What does it mean to be seen? It means, as our Srila Prabhupada would say, that we should act in such a way that Krishna sees us. Because it is a fact that Krishna is as the as Shastra explains, even the Vedic Shastra and the Bhagavatam also, that his eyes are everywhere. And so vasya chaham vidde sanavisto. Okay. So that he is the upadrashta, the overseer of everything.
Excuse me. Can I ask everybody to turn off their mobiles? It's just causing feedback. Please, thank you.
Krishna can communicate with everyone without a mobile phone. And he's got all our numbers too. Be careful. And his mobile phone, his communicating system, also had his camera. Krishna operating system 5, at least. In any case, we are fortunate because not that we're not in the presence of Krishna in wherever we are, but when we come to a temple, we can say that Krishna is especially there because he is being served by his devotees. And his presence is manifest more. Just like in wood, there is fire always contained in wood. But when it is ignited, the fire, the presence of the fire is more obvious. And especially when Krishna's holy names are chanted, because in Kali Yuga, in the age of quarrel and distress, where everyone's mind is so disturbed, and we are thinking that mobile phones and we can connect on the internet continuously everywhere. We're thinking that's our advancement. But what it means is that we can be bothered anywhere. And our mind is generally anywhere but where we are. You see this all the time. People walking down the street and they're talking to someone and they're somewhere other than where they are. So this is Kali Yuga. Everyone's mind is somewhere else, in anxiety and always upadritaha. Manda sumanda mateo, manda abhagya upadritaha. Everyone's mind is flickering and always disturbed. So it is very difficult to place ourselves not only physically but consciously in Krishna's presence. To be consciously in Krishna's presence is very difficult in Kali Yuga. But the great benediction of the age of Kali is Harinam, the names of Krishna being chanted, Sankirtan. The chanting of Krishna's holy names captivates the mind. Although we can become expert in avoiding being captured, just like when the sun is shining, we can go inside our room and close the doors and close the blinds and avoid the healing and beneficent rays of the sun, but it is simply our loss. So we come to Krishna's temple, especially on an auspicious day when, like today, with Lord Balaram's mercy is raining down. And it becomes very easy, if we are a little conscious, or even if we're not so conscious, to turn our umbrellas upside down instead of protecting ourselves from the rains of mercy that Balaram wishes to rain upon us, but to fill our umbrellas, our consciousness, with his kindness and his mercy. So, on this day, which is a Purnima, Lord Balaram took birth, but when we speak about his taking birth, it is not like our taking birth with Krishna. It is like Krishna. It's sambhavam, yuge yuge. He manifests by his own potency, by his own mercy. Like the sun isn't born from the eastern horizon, and nor does it die when it sets on the western horizon. It is simply performing its rotating pastimes or lila. It has its schedule and it comes. So as the sun comes, Krishna comes. And as Krishna comes, Lord Balaram also comes. So it can be very confusing for a Kali Yuga mind to understand Lord Balaram, because he is a person and he is unlimitedly powerful. But Krishna is also a person, and he's unlimitedly powerful. So which one is actually the unlimitedly powerful? Do we have two unlimitedly powerfuls? Is that a contradiction? Is that against, is it counterintuitive? Is it against logic? But actually, Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. That means that unlimited can come from him, and he is not diminished. He is not lessened at all. His account doesn't go down at all. This is what we mean by God, the Parameshwara, the unlimited. When we say that the universe emanates from the Supreme Lord, this is not in any way a display of his opulence, because unlimited universes can come from him, and yet he doesn't diminish in power. Mama angsa tejo sambhava. The whole material existence rests on just a small portion, angsa, a small portion of his potency. And we too, we also, as Vivanansa, we are separated, individual parts of him. We also are his potency. But unfortunately, at this time, we turn our back to him. Instead of being Krishna conscious and being in our natural position in relationship to the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, We are in an unnatural state where we turn from Him. Instead of being Krishna conscious, we are Krishna unconscious. And that is the realm of Maya, illusion. When we, by the power of illusion, Maya means is not. By the power of Maya, we conceive of ourselves as independent and separate from the Supreme Lord. And that is impossible. The meaning of the phrase param satyam, the absolute truth, is somewhat different from the meaning of the Ishvara, or God. Because param satyam, the absolute truth, means inclusive of everything. Nothing is external to the absolute truth. So to conceive of ourselves as somehow or another disconnected from the absolute truth is called maya or illusion. It is simply not possible. If there is an absolute truth, and try to explain material existence or anything, or the existence of an individual soul without an understanding of the absolute truth, the very concept of absolute truth means that it is all-inclusive. It is absolute. No place is His existence denied. There is nothing, by definition, that can be separate from Him or external to Him. So Balaram is the elder brother of the absolute truth, Krishna, Param Satyam. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete Changsa Kalopungsan Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the source of everything. Sarvakarana Karanam. That is Krishna. And Balaram is His first expansion. And He is unlimitedly powerful. Like, in the same way that if you take a candle and light the candle from a first candle, the second candle, practically speaking, has the same amount of power as the original candle. So Balaram, practically speaking, is as powerful as Krishna, but just they are manifest in two forms. Krishna is all-powerful and all-beautiful in a darkish Shama, Shama Sundara form. And Lord Balaram is all-powerful, unlimitedly powerful, in a whitish form. And together, they perform their pastimes in Vrindavan Dham. But not only in Vrindavan Dham, as Krishna also performs His pastimes in Dwarka Dham, Mathura Dham, Balaram also performs pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. And as Krishna is known as Shyamasunda Nandanandana in Vrindavan, but in Mathura and Dwarka, He is known as Dwarkadish, because His pastimes are somewhat different there. And in Mathura and in Vrindavan, He is known as Yadushrishta. And also, He is known as Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. And Balaram, outside of Vrindavan, is known as Shankarshan, also in Vrindavan. That was one of the three names that Gargacharya gave Balaram at the Namakaran, the name-giving ceremony. He gave him the name of Rama, because he would give so much pleasure due to his qualities. He would give pleasure to everyone, all the associates that he had in Braja. And he gave him the name of Bala, or Balam, because Balaram had Bala Adhikar, Adhika. He had Balam. He had unlimited strength. So he would be known as Bala, and putting the words together is Bala Rama. His strength gives pleasure. His qualities give pleasure. To associate with him is pleasure. And in addition, Gargacharya gave Balaram at his the name-giving ceremony the name of Shankarsan, because he would unite the two families of the Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev's family, both in the Yadu dynasty. He would unite them. So those three names were given by Gargacharya to Balaram, to Rohini Nandan, at the time of his birth. So in Dwarka and Mathura, especially, Balaram is known as Shankarsan. And expanded from this Shankarsan, to give us an idea of Balaram's power, expanded from this Shankarsan is the entirety of spiritual existence. Spiritual existence, the Vaikuntha planets. Because the Sandini Shakti, the Shakti of existence, rests or finds its shelter in Balaram. Because we think about existence. Most of us don't think about existence. But if we think about what causes something to exist, on what platform does everything exist upon? Is what causes existence? The scientists are trying to understand this. And of course they can never understand it using their crude methodology of their cyclotrons, etc. They can find out about quarks and subatomic particles, and they even found one particle that they call the God particle. But that is a bit arrogant. That means that they think that they can't subdivide it any further, but they keep trying. In such a crude way, they take small particles and speed them up and smash them into these smaller particles and try to see what's inside. And they really love to find Krishna with four arms there. And then they would take something and try to smash it into Krishna to see what's inside Krishna. They'll find the devotee inside of Krishna's heart, and then they smash into the devotee's heart and they'll find Krishna. But it's such a infinite regression. But this isn't the proper way to find out what's in someone's heart. Imagine if they did that to you. Would you tell them what you really cherish most in your heart? If they tried, okay, now we're going to find out what's really in your heart, and they take a knife or a big rock and... No, you find out something crude and gross in that way. The method, bhakti-mam nabhijananti, which is by bhakti, by devotion. If you love someone, you reveal to them naturally what is in your heart and what is who you are. So existence rests